Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. The book of Ephesians, chapter 1, is where we're going to be this morning. We're going to be looking in Ephesians chapter 1 as well as then into chapter number 2. This is a great day. As I mentioned a few moments ago, my heart is already full just singing with you folks. Listen to all you men and boys sing. Man, that was awesome. That was such a blessing. And then in a few minutes, we're gonna finish off. What a great way to finish off a resurrection service with a couple baptisms this morning. This is so awesome. I'm excited. A lot of times, just because we come in and we're like a special thing, they'll put off a baptism till when we're not there. So the truth of the matter is, I actually don't get to see a lot of baptisms. So I personally am really, really excited to see a couple people, Jacob and Alyssa, get up here and say, hey, I'm all in. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I want everybody to know it. It is just such a blessed thing, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today, as you sit here, and you would really have a hard time understanding what the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead has anything to do with you. Folks, I want you to know something. This man, Jesus Christ, has everything to do with you. And his resurrection from the dead is a powerful thing that can transform your life. And I want us to look at it today as we're looking at, in the book of Ephesians, Paul is writing to the Ephesian church, and we're gonna look in verse number 18 of chapter 1 as Paul is basically just explaining to this church that he is praying for them, and he tells them how he is praying for them. He's already been through, and we don't have time to go back earlier in Ephesians 1, but just some rich, rich truth as to who these people are because of what Christ has done for them. But as he prays, he just, and you know, I really am not going to go all the way into this. I just want to bring us to the point where he brings up the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then I want us to look at a verse in chapter number 2. He says, I pray. So he's praying for them. He says, this is how I pray for you. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. This is verse 18. So that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us, key words, who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, here's the resurrection, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand, whereat in the heavenly places. Now turn over to chapter number 2 and look at what he says. We'll pick up in verse number 5. Because Jesus Christ is not the only one who was dead and was brought to life. Folks, let me tell you something. Me and you are in need of a resurrection from the dead. Look at what it says in verse number 5. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Would you maybe today, whether you know Christ and you are among those who believe, or maybe you're here today and you're just here because, hey, Easter's a good time to pop into a church somewhere. And I understand that a lot of folks will pop into a church on an Easter Sunday. And we're so glad that you're here, if that's you. But maybe even now, would you pray and say, God, would you help me to understand what the resurrection of Jesus Christ has to do with me? Would you pray that? Let's pray. Father, would you please help us? Lord, we need you. Lord, we need you to open up the eyes of our understanding so that we can understand and know these things. Paul here is praying that the people at this church that he's writing to would know what is the power of the resurrection. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us today. Lord, as we take a few minutes to see what the resurrection of Jesus Christ can mean for us. And Lord, if there's some here in this room who have never experienced the resurrection from the dead spiritually that this text is talking about, I pray that today, Lord, maybe would be the day of their resurrection. God, would you please work, help us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. So in verse number 18, as he's telling them that he is praying for them, he's praying, middle of the verse, that they would know a few things. They would know the hope of his calling. They would know the riches of his glory. But then the part that I'm wanting to focus in on is that they would know what is the greatness of his power that's at work in them to those who believe. Folks, there is a mighty power that is at work in those who are truly followers of Jesus Christ. It's a power that this world can't understand. Man, he is explaining this, and he says this in the following verse. It's the same power that God brought forth when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That same power is at work in me. And if you are here today and you are truly a follower of Jesus Christ, you're a Christian, then that same power is at work in you. Now, this power of God that he brought forth when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead, it's a power that conquered sin. It's a power that conquered death. It's a power that conquers hell. It's a power that conquers Satan. Folks, we're not talking about a small amount of power here. Folks, we're talking about an overwhelming amount of power that God wrought when he brought forth Jesus Christ from the dead. And he is explaining to us as we move into chapter number 2 that this same power is alive in bringing us from the dead. Now, folks, I don't know if you understand this terminology or not, but as we move into chapter number 2, we realize that Jesus isn't the only one in this text who was dead. He actually starts to explain how that we all are dead. And that the same resurrection power that brought forth Jesus Christ, that same resurrection power can bring me and you to life. Look at what he says starting in verse number 1 of chapter 2. So in chapter 1, he's talking about how that Christ was dead, but by his power, God brought him forth from the dead. But look at what he says in verse 1 of chapter 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Now, folks, we obviously, as we look at that, we know that he's not talking about physical death. I'm pretty sure, unless corpses can walk, I'm pretty sure I got a pulse right now, and I think I'm alive, right? So when he talks about how that we are dead, he's not talking about that we are physically dead. He is talking about that we are spiritually dead. When he says right there, and you, now he's talking to some people who back in that verse I was looking at in chapter 1, he's talking to people who are qualified by that phrase, those who believe. So he's talking to Christians here. He's talking about something that has happened to Christians. They have been, just like Christ was brought back from the dead, these Christians have been brought back from the dead. They have been brought to life. And maybe you're here, as you sit here today, you're listening and you've never been brought back to life. You've never been resurrected from the spiritual dead that this text is talking about. I want you to listen to what it says, because this is talking about me. This is talking about Pastor. Matter of fact, in just a minute, the Apostle Paul says that he was dead too. Listen to the text. It says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Now listen to Paul include himself. among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Now, folks, listen to what Paul says here. Paul in chapter 1 is saying, I am praying that you understand the power that God brought forth when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He moves to chapter 2 and he says, and I hope you understand that that same power that brought Christ from the dead will bring you from the dead. And he explains what our deadness is. He explains that it's a spiritual deadness. He said, and you were dead in your trespasses and your sins. What that's talking about is how that the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, God created perfect people. Adam and Eve were perfect in every way you could imagine perfect. They were perfect in their environment, the Garden of Eden. They were perfect in their bodies. They were perfect with their minds. They were perfect in their relationship with each other. Most importantly, they had a perfect relationship with their Creator, God. But they rebelled against God. They said, God, we don't want you to be in charge. We want to be in charge. So God removed Adam from his presence. God removed himself from Adam's presence. And there is a great distance that has come between man and God. It is a distance that no man can fix. God is here and man is here. Man has entered into a state of being separated from God. And the reason why is sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, by this one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So that death has passed on to all men because all have sinned. You know what that verse is saying? It's saying that because of Adam, sin has entered the human race. It's what's going on at the core of who we are. We don't have to teach our children how to sin. They just figure it out. You know what I'm saying? Never one time that I ever had to teach my children how to sin. They knew. Never one time did I ever have to teach one of my children how to lie. They just figured out daddy doesn't know everything. Never one time that I ever take, one of my little boy's hands and I moved it into a fist, said, here, buddy, here's how you hit your sister. Man, they just figured it out. You know why? Because sin is not just what we do. Ever since the beginning of time when man fell and rebelled against God, sin is not just a matter of what we do, it's a matter of who we are. Folks, you want to know why my kids are sinners? It's because I'm a sinner. They got it from me. You know where I got it from? Yeah, you guessed it. My dad. And on to his, and on to his. And folks, all the way down throughout humanity, we are not born into this world in a perfect relationship with God. And it doesn't take long for children to start to show that this is true. You see, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there is none righteous, not even one. Now, the way this text says it is this way, really showing the depths of our problem. He says that we are dead in our trespasses and in our sins. Folks, can I tell you something about dead people? Dead people can't bring themselves back to life. These people, all of us that is talking about starting in verse number 1, as we are dead in trespasses and sins, we are hopeless. We are in trouble and there's nothing we can do. It says in verse 2, in which you formerly walked. We all walked according to the course of this world. The word course there is almost talking about a current. There is a current that we are in, dead, on our way to destruction. And folks, corpses in the water, in a current, they don't even have what it takes to fight against it. Dead in this current. Listen to what he says. According to the prince of the power of the air, that's a reference to Satan himself, and of the spirit that is now at working in the children and the sons of disobedience. And then Paul throws himself in, like I said, verse 3, among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh. Paul, the great apostle Paul, who wrote much of the Bible, please hear me, sir, hear me, ma'am. He said it was true of him too. It's true of all of us. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul is explaining to us that because of our sin, we are spiritually dead. But I would love to bring your attention to verse number 4. It starts with these words, "But God." Aren't you thankful that while me and you are dead in our trespasses and sins, God has intervened on our behalf? God has made a way for me and you not to be destroyed, for me and you not to suffer the wrath of God that comes upon the children of disobedience. God has made a way for me and you to be rescued, for me and you, listen to what he says, to be risen from the dead. Look at what he says, verse 4, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Folks, if you are saved today, if you are here and you're truly a Christian, you have been raised from the dead spiritually. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were in trouble, no hope in this world. We were stuck in a current that was on a one-way track to destruction, and dead people can't even fight to get out of it. But God, who's rich in mercy, with the love wherewith he loved us, he grabbed a hold of our hearts and he brings us back to life. Folks, this is the story of the resurrection and what it has to do with me and you. Are you saved today? Then you have been resurrected from the dead. If you are a Christian today, it is because God, in his great mercy and his great love, he resurrected us. And that's what it says. Well, why would he do this? What was his motivation? That you have this incredible, you know, it's been called the trifecta of God's saving work. His mercy, his love, and his grace. We find all three of them right here. What's mercy? I mean, you see in verse number four, it says, "But God, being rich in mercy," this word mercy, it's God looking at me and you and having pity on me and you. Folks, he looks at me and you in the midst of our fallen, broken condition, and he's moved with compassion. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9 that Jesus, he goes about when he was in his earthly ministry here, and he's healing the sick and he's preaching the good news of the gospel. It says, but when he looked up and he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because he saw a bunch of people who were sheep, who didn't have a shepherd. My friend, that same Jesus who had compassion on those, had compassion on me and you. He was rich in mercy. He saw us in our fallen condition. He saw us dead in our trespasses and sins. And he had mercy on us. He had compassion on us. His mercy. And then it says, verse 4, he says, "But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us." My friend, I'll be real honest with you. I grew up going to church. I grew up going to Sunday school. I even went to a Christian school. I heard all about Jesus my whole grown up life, but I didn't understand. I didn't become a true Christian until I was 21 years old. You know, as I was mentioning earlier, I'm from North Carolina. I'm from the Bible Belt. We have churches on every corner. It's just amazing. So many people grow up in a Christian home, so they just assume that they're Christians. Folks, being raised in a Christian home no more makes you a Christian than being raised in a garage makes you a car. There's got to come a time in your life where you become a Christian. There's gotta come a time in your life where you realize that you're dead. And you realize that Jesus Christ is the only one who can resurrect you from the dead. And you realize that you must repent and turn and place your faith and trust in Him. You must become one of those who, in chapter 1, it says, those who believe. Have you ever had a time in your life where you become one of those who believe? I was 21 years old when I finally came to the place where I realized that I believed. Prior to 21, you know what? I didn't believe God loved me. I believe God was this big God with all these stupid rules, and He stood over me like this, and one of these days I was going to tick Him off and He was going to smash me. I had no concept of a God who loved me. But folks, I'm just telling you, He is a God who is holy, and He is a God who, for those who ultimately reject Him, there is a day of reckoning. There is a judgment. But my friend, we have a God, and this was my story. He loved me, and He loved me, and He loved me, and He loved me. Until finally at 21 years old, I submitted, I surrendered. I said, okay, it's true. It's true. He says that God, who is rich in mercy, the love, with the love wherewith He has loved us. And then the last thing, we find it over and over again. We find it in this text, that we've been saved by His grace. We are resurrected from the dead by His grace. You know what the word grace means? It means we don't deserve it. Folks, there is nothing me and you can do to deserve this resurrection. We are the ones who are dead in our trespasses and in our sins. And not of works. It says right here, look as you continue down, look at verse number 8. It says, for by grace, there's the word, for by grace you have been saved. Or I'm saying today, that's talking about this resurrection from the dead spiritually. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It is not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Folks, let me tell you something. Me and you being resurrected from the dead, none of us can pat ourselves on the shoulder someday when we get to heaven and say, boy, I did a pretty good job, didn't I? No, folks, He says it's all of grace. If it wasn't of grace and you could work for it, then we could boast. Folks, there's no boasting in heaven except in the cross of Jesus Christ and what He did for us. Folks, He is the one who has made a way for me and you to be saved, for me and you to be resurrected from the dead. Have you ever had a time in your life where you realize that because of your sins, that yeah, you have a pulse, physically you are alive, but spiritually you're without hope in this world? The Bible over and over and over again gives us this terminology of our distance between us and God because of this broken relationship, because of sin, that we are dead spiritually. But that the same power of God that brought forth Jesus Christ from the dead, that same power of God has brought us from the dead. Folks, how did God deal with our sin problem? You know what we celebrate this time of year. We celebrate His resurrection today, but you also know what we celebrated on Friday. On Friday, we celebrate His death. And all of the songs that we sang, we talked about the resurrection, but we don't really understand the resurrection if we don't understand that He died. Why did Christ die? The Bible says that He died really as a substitute in payment for our sin. The reason why we can be resurrected from the dead is because Jesus Christ died on the cross. Jesus took my sin. Jesus took my guilt. Jesus took my punishment. And He went to the cross, and there He died so that I could be rescued, so that I could be saved. My friend, I want to bring this back to the truth that we find, or that those two words that we find back in chapter number 1, where He is praying that they would understand the power of God that brought forth Jesus from the dead. And then it has these two words. It says, to those who believe. Now, those two qualifying words split humanity into two groups. You have those who believe, But then you have those who don't believe. Those who believe are, in this text, are the ones who are resurrected from the dead. They're the ones whose sins are taken away. The ones whose sins are forgiven. And this is the truth of their current position, but then ultimately going to be their reality, is that they are seated with Christ in heaven, in heavenly places. That is those who believe. But then the other part of this would be those who don't believe. And my friend, that would be those who say, I don't buy this story. That would be those who would say, hey, maybe Jesus died and that's fine, but I don't need Jesus' help. I got this. I can earn my own way into the heavenly places. It would be people who say, I believe the story, but I don't want to submit to this Jesus. I don't want him to be the king. I want to be my own king. I want to do my own thing. You would be among those who maybe you believe with your mind some facts, but you don't believe with your heart in submission to Jesus Christ as King and Lord. My friend, this all of humanity is really divided by these two words. Those who believe, in contrast to those who do not, and maybe will not believe. But folks, I really want you to understand your eternity hangs in the balance as to whether or not you believe the truth about Jesus Christ. Have you placed your faith, your trust, your confidence in him? Maybe you say, what do you mean by the word believe? I mean, we can believe a lot of things. Well, it really has to do with faith. It's believing not with your mind a bunch of facts, but really true heart faith. Placing your confidence in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross. Those are the people who will be resurrected from the dead. I was at an airport, and I met a man in the airport, and our flight was delayed, and we were sitting there on the in the airport, and we're looking out and got into a conversation. We were there for a long time, and I had an opportunity to share the gospel with him. And we came down, and he was actually religious, but he really struggled with this whole concept of being saved by faith. He was so into, no, it's by my works. I've got to earn my way. And I was trying to explain to him, if you could earn your way, then Jesus died for nothing. And so I started to explain to him what faith was, placing your confidence not in your goodness, placing your confidence not in your religion, placing your confidence not in your righteousness, but abandoning all of that and placing your confidence in Jesus Christ alone. That's faith. And we're standing there, and meantime our plane comes in, finally, and the people that were on the plane get off, and we're waiting to board. And I said, like for instance, this plane, here's the difference between just believing and having faith. I said, do you believe that plane's going to get us to where we're going? He said, yeah, I believe it. I said, but faith is something different than just believing it with your mind. I said, faith is going to be shown in the fact that you're going to go put your life in the hands of that plane and that pilot. I said, we can stand out here and stare at that plane all day long, and we can say the words, I believe that plane's going to fly and get me where I'm going. But folks, faith is when you go put your life on that plane. And when you're on that plane, I was teasing him. I said, when you're on that plane, you're not trying to get yourself there. You know, I've never seen anybody in a plane trying to flap their wings to help it go on, you know. No, we rest. Our confidence has been placed in that plane and that pilot. Folks, please, faith. Those who really believe, it's not just a matter of knowing facts about this Jesus, knowing facts about, yeah, on the third day he rose again. No, it is placing your eternity, your life and your eternity in his hands. My friends, have you been resurrected from the dead? Have you been saved? I was 21 when I got saved. 21 years old when I turned to Christ. Up to that point, I was religious, but I was lost. We have some people getting baptized. Alyssa, what, 5 when you got saved? Is that right? Something like that? I think she gives her testimony in just a little bit. I love a baptism. Folks, this is so awesome. 5 years old when she got saved. But she was still resurrected from the dead. Jacob, 45? 45. Resurrected from the dead. Have you been resurrected from the dead? Have you been saved? That's what today is all about. Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He conquered death. He conquered sin. He's conquered hell. He's conquered Satan, so that sinners like me, dead in my trespasses and sins, could be resurrected to new life. Have you been resurrected from the dead? My friend, be saved. Turn to Christ. It's not a work. Remember, if it was a work that you could go do enough, then you could boast. But he says it's not a work. It's of grace that we've been saved, because of his mercy, because of his love, because of his grace. And so we come to him for his salvation. My friend, would you be saved? You could be saved today. Folks, I'm telling you, you want to talk about the best Easter you've ever had in your life. My friend, you could be resurrected from the dead today. But you must become one of those who believe. And I'm not just talking about facts with your head. Folks, you got to get on this plane. You have to place your life in the hands of Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross to save you. Folks, if you will come to Christ, you will be saved. Place your faith, your confidence in him. Become one of those who believe, and you will be saved. Folks, it really is a matter of repenting and turning to Christ and placing your faith in him. And you can be saved. I'm telling you, right here in this room, I was all alone in my basement apartment in January of 1996. I was sitting in Greenville, South Carolina, in my basement apartment. I was going to a state school, and God was at work in my heart. God convinced me that I was dead in my trespasses and sins. I was in this current, on my way to judgment, and there was nothing I could do to save myself. And my friend, it wasn't a work. I didn't earn it. I simply repented and placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, I got on that plane. I placed my confidence in Jesus Christ alone. And you know what he did that night? He resurrected me from the dead. I became a Christian. I was saved. My friend, would you turn to Christ and be saved today? Would you be brought from death unto life spiritually? I would love to give you a chance just to turn to Christ this morning. It's not a work that you do. It's really something that God's doing in you. You just respond to him, what he is already doing. Some of you, perhaps as you're sitting here, you don't even know what's going on in your heart, but you know what I'm saying is true. And it's God drawing you to himself. Listen to what the Bible says. God said, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. And that's not an audible voice. It's a work of God in your heart. He says, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Be saved. My friend, we talk to God. We call it prayer. A prayer can't save you. No prayer will ever save a single person. God saves people. But we do talk to him. We come to him. That night when I got saved, I was all alone in my basement apartment, and I just cried out for God's forgiveness. I said, God, I know I'm a sinner. God, I know that I am dead in my trespasses and sins. God, I know that I'm in trouble. I know that I deserve the judgment, but I believe that you've made a way. I believe that plane will get me. I believe But God, I'm ready to get on. I'm ready to not just believe facts in my head. I'm ready to put my life in the hands of Jesus Christ. I'm ready to be saved. And I turned to Christ. I repented for my sin. And folks, He saved me. He saved me. My friend, you can be saved tonight. Today, I'm sorry, right in the quietness of the moment right here, you can turn to Christ. Would you repent? Just a minute, I'm just going to give us a chance in just a minute just to pray and talk to God and say, God, I know that I'm a sinner. God, I know that I have sinned against you. God, I know that I have turned away. But God, I believe that through Jesus Christ, you've made a way for me to be saved. I'm not going to have old-fashioned, like back where I'm from, back in the Bible Belt, an old-fashioned come-forward invitation. You don't need anything like that. You just need to turn to Christ right where you're at. You can be saved right here. Place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. Repent and turn to Him. Just with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, can we just have our heads bowed and our eyes closed? Would you turn to Christ and be saved? Would you repent? Would you believe? Right now, and please, it's not magic words. You got to get these words just right. That's not what it is. He knows your heart. God knows your heart. If He's at work in you and He's drawn you to Himself, harden not your heart. Right now, just cry out to God. Say, God, I know I'm a sinner. God, I know that I'm dead in my trespasses and sins. God, I know that I deserve the judgment, but I believe that you've made a way for me to be saved. I believe that through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, I can be saved. I can be resurrected from the dead spiritually. I can be brought to life, seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. I'm coming to you to save me. My friend, right now, this is not between me and you. Right now, just in the quietness of the moment in this room, would you get on this plane? Would you place your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ alone? With our heads still bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're struggling here because you're like, I'm trying to talk to God, but I don't know what to say. My friend, please don't get messed up on thinking that it's got to be like perfect words, magical words. No, it's your heart. He knows your heart. I'm telling you, if God is at work and you drawing you to Himself, you can't even mess this up. Just respond to Him. Take these words. I'll help you. Take these words. Make them your own. Right now, cry out to God. Say, God, I know I'm a sinner. God, I know that spiritually I'm dead in my trespasses and my sins. I know that I deserve the judgment. But I believe that Jesus Christ came and He died so I could be saved. And I believe that you brought Him forth from the dead. And I'm coming to you to save me. I'm coming to you. I want to be a follower. I want to be a Christian. I repent of my sin. Would you forgive me? My friend, you finish this conversation, and I'll close this in just a moment. Oh, Father, we come to you. Thank you for your great salvation. Thank you for the way you work in our hearts and our lives in ways that we do not understand. But Lord, it is just so overwhelming. Lord, thank you for resurrecting me from the dead spiritually. Thank you for the work of salvation, resurrection that you did in Alyssa's life and in Jacob's life, that we're getting ready to see them give testimony to the fact that they were lost in sin, but they've been brought to life through Christ. And Lord, I pray that perhaps there's some in this room, Lord, who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ today. Lord, may you be glorified. Thank you, our risen Jesus, our King. And Lord, we ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen. Folks, thank you so much for being here and letting us do this. If you are here and maybe today you ask Christ to save you, or if you have questions and would want to talk, would you please find me afterwards? Find Pastor. We would love to rejoice with you. If today really you turn to Christ to be saved, I'm telling you, today is your resurrection day spiritually. And this is the day that God brought you to life. And we would love to rejoice with you. If there's anything that we can do to help you. Can I just say this real fast? Pastor, you can go ahead and come. Are you? And then I think we're going to have this baptism, and I can't wait. Maybe you didn't turn to Christ right here. You don't have to be here. I was all alone in my basement apartment. My friend, it was late at night before I went to bed, sitting in a yellow chair. I remember. I turned to Christ, and he saved me. My friend, and some people don't remember right where they were. That's fine. Don't feel like you have to know that those details. But I was 21 years old. Folks, maybe you didn't turn morning, but you know you need to. Maybe it's tonight for you before you go to bed. Turn to Christ and be saved. Maybe it's 3 a.m, because tonight's another night where you sit, where you lay there tossing and turning because you don't know what's going to happen to you when you die. Turn to Christ and be saved. I beg of you. Please don't die without Christ. Become one of those who believe.